In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel lesson is the basis for our sermon this morning. Sermon is about temptation. The Bible records many temptations, records people's response to them. And although there are exceptions, generally in the Bible, when people are faced with temptation, they fail. They fail. There's Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit. There's David, King David, committing adultery and then murder. There's Peter denying his Lord three times. Those are just a few examples. The track record of human beings not giving in to temptation is poor. With that in mind, hear these words of the Apostle Paul. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Did you catch that? The Bible says God will never let you be tempted beyond your ability. You cannot give in to temptation and then justify it by saying, well, I just couldn't help it. Actually, you can. The Bible says so. And if you say you can't, then you're giving in to another temptation, calling God a liar. God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And so when you give in to temptation, when you disobey God, it's because you want to. It's because you want to. Now you might be tempted to cover your ears and say, I don't want to hear that. But you can resist that temptation as well. You and I don't have a good track record when it comes to temptation. But Jesus does. In fact, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is able to sympathize with us because he was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet was without sin. Therefore, we can approach his throne of grace and receive his grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. The Scriptures reveal three temptations which our Lord faced on our behalf. First temptation was the temptation to satisfy his physical desires. The second temptation, the temptation for control, authority, and power. The third temptation, to test God. And all three of those temptations have to do with the denial of God's word and promises. Every temptation you face can be placed into one of those three categories. The first temptation, the temptation to satisfy one's physical desires. That's the form of temptation we often think of. Jesus had been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, had nothing to eat. He was hungry. Yes, he was true God, but he was also true man. He was hungry. And the devil appears to him and tempts him to turn stones into bread. He could have done that easily. But it would have been at the devil's suggestion and not at his heavenly Father's direction. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What is it that you believe you need to have? More money, more stuff, different family. We're bombarded by the media day in and day out trying to tell us we need to have more than what we have, or what we have needs to be new and improved. Now, certainly it's not wrong to have things, but the temptation of Satan is to make us think that it's our things that make a life. And Satan would have us believe that God will not provide for us and that either he cannot or will not satisfy us. And so we chase after things. And yet what do we discover? Satisfaction doesn't last very long. Then we want more things. We get hungry again. We spend a lifetime accumulating and acquiring stuff, and in the end, we just need a bigger dumpster, need to have an auction, a rummage sale, or the stuff just gets given away. All the time we thought that stuff would make us happy. God alone is the one who satisfies. The scripture says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The second temptation Jesus faces is the one for power and authority. And this temptation is a little more devious. The devil promises Jesus power and authority if he'll just bow down and worship him. Who among us wouldn't like to have a little more control? Who among us wouldn't like to have a little more power and authority? Plot, plan, prepare, so you can have control over others. Manipulate so you can have things your way because you know your way is the right way. And you'd like other people to think that too. Power and authority are very intoxicating. Yet what does our Lord teach us? Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. The third temptation is the most subtle and the hardest to detect. It involves testing God and trying to make God prove himself. And the devil tempts Jesus by taking him to the pinnacle, the top of the temple, and urging him to throw himself down, and even quotes the Bible, telling Jesus, look, God will take care of you if you do this. Just prove it. We are tempted to do that when we try to tell God what to do. We challenge him to show his love for us by taking away a hardship or a difficulty. We cry out to God when we are sick or hurting, and we try to tell him if he really loved us, he wouldn't let us go through such a thing. We search for Bible passages that support our case as if we are in a position to argue with God. We ask God to prove his love for us rather than following him in obedience. When the Apostle Paul asked God to remove his thorn in the flesh, God responded, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Every temptation you face can be placed into one of those three that Jesus faced. But there's another temptation which is based on the previous three. And that temptation is to fail to trust in Christ when you have failed in your temptation. Unlike our Lord, you have failed in every category. You have believed that contentment could be found in the things of this world. You have wanted to have more control and authority over other people. You have tried to make God prove himself and questioned his love for you. You have again and again given in to the seductive lies of the devil. Satan piles up your failures and he holds them in front of you, and then he tells you, how could God love someone like you? You call yourself a Christian? You've promised not to do that, and you've broken your promise again and again and again. How could God have mercy on someone like you? And there is some truth to that accusation. You cannot deny your failures. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But that's where the truthfulness of Satan ends. Everything our Lord does, he does for you, his child. Everything our Lord suffers, he suffers not for himself, he suffers for you, out of love for you. Our Lord comes into this world to bring you the promise of hope and forgiveness in the midst of your failure. God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, and that includes you. As Satan holds before you your failure and your weakness to give in to temptation, Christ holds before you his victory over Satan and his perfect obedience in your place. That is the faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on him in the midst of every temptation to overcome them and to be assured of his forgiveness when you fail. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.